because if we don't laugh, we'll cry, and we do both of that here. And they do that at grist.org as well. I'm very pleased to have Greg Hanscom joining me, I hope. He is a senior editor at Grist, and he just got back from Rio, and he wrote a fabulous article. I highly recommend it. And he asked, 50,000 people rallied for the Earth Summit. Did it do any good? And as all hell breaks loose here with the fires burning in New Mexico and Colorado, I think a total of 7 states, and with flooding occurring in Florida. By the way, I have a friend who just had to evacuate her home in Colorado, and her sister was driving to help her and trying to outrun the tropical storms in Florida. So that kind of brought it all together. She was posting that on Facebook. She goes, what the hell is going on? Well, could be climate change, I wrote sheepishly. All hell broke loose. But what the hell happened down in Rio? Greg, let us know.
Hey, good question. What did happen in Rio? It was like Carnival without the drinks and costumes.
But you had the crowds, right?
We had the crowds. We had 50,000 people there from all over the world, including no small number of dignitaries and world leaders. President Obama, of course, was a no-show, as was David Cameron from the UK, but more than 100 world leaders showed up for this conference, and then the associated media circus and other sort of interested parties.
Last week for the show, it was just getting underway, and there were already reports coming in that it was, quote, over before it started. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, there were actually several years of preparations that went into this thing, including some long hours of negotiating at the United Nations in New York. And ultimately, the final document, the final agreement that came out of this summit was agreed to before world leaders actually even showed up on the scene. And sadly, there was really nothing of particular note that was new in that document. It amounted to a lot of restatements of commitments that the world community had made in years past.
I heard it was a lot of reaffirmations and underscoring, and big on that, and really very small on any new initiatives that had any teeth.
Yeah. I mean, really, I sort of pored over this 49-page agreement earlier this week in search of anything that might be considered progress. And ultimately, what I found was again a lot of acknowledgments and affirmations of other commitments that have been written up and agreed to years or even decades ago. The few bright spots, if you could even call them bright spots, that came out of the official negotiations were some mild progress on bringing sustainable energy to the world's poor. There was some strong language, or relatively strong language, about protecting oceans and fisheries, which suggests that we might be able to make some real progress here in the coming years. And then, if nothing else, the world leaders committed to essentially having another meeting like this here in a couple of years. So hopefully that one will be better than the one we just lived through.
Well, 20 years ago, Severin Suzuki, as a 12-year-old, really was kind of the hit from the conference, and she spoke again this year. Were you able to see that?
I was, yes. Severin Suzuki was really a phenomenon. She back in the day, I think she was 12 in 1992,
yes.
When she showed up. Yes. And I chatted with her. She showed up at the Earth Summit, and she and I think three of her friends, 12 or 13-year-olds, had raised the money, had basically held bake sales and raised enough money to fly down to Rio, and they had a little booth at the People's Summit, as it is known, and they were just talking to anyone who would come by, talking to people about how worried they were about the environment. And at some point, someone saw these girls and said, God, these kids are good. One thing led to another, and Severin ended up giving a speech to the entire, to the assembled leaders of the world, which is now on YouTube and has been viewed several million times. So Severn was quite a phenomenon back then, and continues to be. And actually, I spent a fair amount of my time down in Rio hanging out with the youth delegations from various corners of the world. And I have to say, if there was one real bright spot in all of this, it was the young people who showed up and really raised some hell.
And Brittany Trilford, of course, was the highlight, a 17-year-old from New Zealand. She gave a similar, you know, call to action, very eloquent, kind of soft-spoken, but very powerful. And we may play that. It's about 4.5 minutes at the end of the show if we have time. Did you happen to be in the room for that one?
I was not in the room, but I watched it, and I chatted with Brittany ahead of time as well. She had recorded a little speech to give to world leaders in her bedroom, you know, recorded the speech on her laptop and sent it in. There was a contest, and the winner of this contest was going to win a trip to Rio. Said she didn't even tell her parents that she had entered until she found out she had won. So they were rather surprised, but she came to Rio and was a real force. You know, again, 17 years old, but had a very clear message for world leaders. And I think there's something powerful about a young person talking to her elders about how they've fallen down on the job. That kind of, you know, hits close to the heart. So
yeah, it's almost in an appropriately scolding way, like you grown-ups need a time out here and remember who you're here for.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think, having been there, there is any more that could have been done, or is it really just the problems are so huge, so complex, that really, you know, it's not anyone's fault, it's just that maybe these things are not solvable? What was your sense of that?
My sense is that there's certainly more that could have been done. I think almost without exception, the developing world, the developed world, everyone there was pleading poverty. You know, whether it's sort of the economic crisis in Europe that's holding things back there, or just, you know, ongoing poverty in the developing world. Basically, it was the economy that overshadowed all of these talks. I think that had things been better on that front, we might have seen some more progress. Had we seen some leadership, you know, some real leadership from President Obama and other key world leaders, we could have seen progress there too. But ultimately, I think the world has changed a lot in the last 20 years. 20 years ago, when they had the first Rio Earth Summit, it was the heads of state, you know, it was the presidents and the prime ministers who were really running the show. They could sort of get together in a room, decide to do some things and tell the rest of the world that this is how it's going to be done. It's a very different world today. I think, you know, consider the fact that corporations like Walmart now dwarf some of the economies of entire nations in this world. So you've got corporations that have really risen to power, at non-governmental organizations. You've got cities, you know, you've got cities like New York City that, again, sort of dwarf these national governments. And so I think what you saw in Rio was the reality that this is no longer kind of a top-down world run by a handful of national leaders. Instead, it's a much more complicated and much more messy place. And in fact, some of the progress that really did come out of this summit came from outside of those official meeting halls, from you know, some players that weren't even sort of in the game 20 years ago.
I was going to ask you about that. Sometimes the most interesting part of these things happens out in the hallways and outside in other venues. But before I do, since the United States, we certainly have poverty in our country, but we can't claim poverty as our overwhelming reason to not, you know, get on the green bandwagon and really address climate change. You know, what is our excuse, really, other than this political circus we have, the deep-pocketed effort to obfuscate climate science? And I don't let the public, American public, off the hook. I have been trying to educate, you know, moms in my community, and there's just really a resistance to hearing about this stuff, even parents who you think have most invested in the future. So, you know, how frustrating is that to be representing a country that really is willfully almost not getting it?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And again, compare it to 1992, when the first Rio summit really captured the imagination of a lot of people in the United States. This was big news, and U.S. environmental groups made a huge stink out of that summit, pushed George Bush Sr. to actually show up, and he actually did show up and gave a speech and spent a day or two in Rio for that summit. It was a big deal back then. It was not a big deal. Like, literally, I found myself early on in this process writing stories about, you know, well, where are the U.S. environmental groups? You know, where are the big traditional green groups that 20 years ago were really helping drive interest in this process? And some of them, frankly, slept through this whole thing.
You did not see people from Sierra Club, Greenpeace, NRDC, Earth Justice?
I did. Some of those groups did come through. NRDC was very active in this. Greenpeace was very active. A handful of others that were active in 1992 basically were no-shows. So the Wilderness Society, for example, just didn't do anything to help raise awareness or to move issues at this meeting. A handful of others, Rainforest Action Network, and a handful of others. I just didn't see any presence at this summit at all.
Are you there?
He dropped.
Okay. Well, let's end the show then, since we just lost Greg Hanscom accidentally, abruptly. Let's go out with this speech from 17-year-old Brittany Tilford. We'll try to play as much of it as we can for you. It was quite moving.
My name is Brittany Tilford. I'm 17 years old. I'm a child. Today, in this moment, I'm all children. Your children. The world's 3 billion children. Think of me as half the world. I stand here with fire in my heart. I'm confused and angry at the state of the world. And I want us to work together now to change this. We are here today to solve the problems that we have caused as a collective to ensure that we have a future. You and your governments have promised to reduce poverty and sustain our environment. You have already promised to combat climate change, to ensure clean water and food security. Multinational corporations have already pledged to respect the environment, green their production, compensate for their pollution. These promises have been made, and yet still, our future is in danger. We are all aware that time is ticking, and we are quickly running out. You have 72 hours to decide the fate of your children, my children, my children's children. And I start the clock now. Tick, tick, tick. Let us think back. 20 years ago, well before I was even an inkling in my parents' eyes. Think back here to Rio, where people met at the first Earth Summit in 1992. The people at this summit knew there needed to be change. All our systems were failing, collapsing all around us. And these people came together to acknowledge these challenges, to work for something better, to commit to something better. They made great promises. Promises that, when I read them, still leave me feeling hopeful. These promises are left not broken, but empty. How can that be? when all around us there is knowledge that offers us solutions. Nature, as a design tool, offers insight into systems that are whole, complete, that give life, create value, allow progress, transformation, and change. We, the next generation, demand change. Demand action so that we can have a future. We trust you in the next 72 hours to put our interests before all other interests and boldly do the right thing. I am here to fight for my future. That's why I'm here. And I would like to end today by asking you to consider why you're here and what you can do. Are you here to save face, or are you here to save us? Thank you.
That is 17-year-old Brittany Tilford from New Zealand. A poignant way to end this program. Of course, that was at the kickoff of the Rio Plus 20 conference. Unfortunately, her dreams were not realized. The accomplishments were not quite as great as and bold as they needed to be, but still a moving piece to have and to hear. So thanks for listening to it and the program and for sharing it with your friends. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. See you next time. If we just